If you'd sit back, take a couple of big, deep breaths. We come together in this moment by divine appointment, knowing that we are here this morning, sharing the love, sharing the light, and sharing the wealth of spirit, that we have come here individually as well as collectively to open our minds, to open our hearts, to new possibilities in life, to worship, to fellowship, and to friendship, and to know that this is the moment, that we can right now release the past, anything that's happened prior to this moment, and be fully present and fully aware of that great power within us that is greater than we are, that which we call God, infinite mind, spirit, the great creator, the divine, and ask that it come forth in its full functioning power, listening for us, catching insights for us, and allowing us to feel inspired and uplifted by the truth, by the word, and of course the word is always established in great love and peace. We are so grateful for this opportunity. We release these words, we let them be, and together we say, and so it is. So is everybody comfortable? You're comfortable where you're sitting? Yes. All right, I'm going to spread myself around so I can include all of you. So today we include our annual Friendship Month. However, I feel like it's only the beginning of many wonderful new and renewed friendships. And I know that we will continue building new relationships in this community. But it certainly has been a joy for us to share the love of the community with others and the light of our hearts with all kinds of new hearts and the wealth of a deeper spiritual understanding. So to me, celebrating the riches of life is really about several things. And one is appreciating friends and friendships. Friendships that are rich with the spirit of love and also the spirit of acceptance, no matter what. That's what friends are really for. Another one I think that's important is to acknowledge our physical health and vitality. Another very important one, of course, is maintaining a healthy mental attitude. The riches of life, then, we would say, is to have certainly physical health. It's to have a healthy mental attitude and a lot of rich friends, right? No, I didn't say that. I said friendships that are rich with the spirit of love and acceptance. I want to thank you, all of you, who brought a friend this month, and those of you who said yes if your friend asked you to come this month. We've really enjoyed sharing. You know, we've only been here since July, so we're sort of new in the community. But it's been a wonderful experience sharing the wealth of spirit and the love and the light with all of you. And we will continue to celebrate friendship every Sunday. First of all, that is really who we are. That is what we are about. And I really feel that that's what the world needs right now, is a lot more friendship, a lot more coming together, no matter what our faith is to have faith in something. So this entire month, we've taken a spiritual look at wealth so that we could gain greater clarity about what it really is and what it means to be truly wealthy. I'd like to share a favorite statement from the founder of the Science of Mind, who also wrote the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes. It appears several times in the Science of Mind textbook, and it is this. He said, "Love points the way, and the law makes the way possible." At the universal or the macrocosm level, this happens more or less automatically. It's God's love that was the impetus for our world and God's law that brought the world into being. God's love was the impetus for you and me, and God's law brought you and me into being. At the human level, though, love is really not a given. It isn't so automatic. We have almost actually learned not to love. When we wake up and really become fully conscious, we understand that part of our job or part of our responsibility is to really let love begin pointing the way. Love truly is the foundation and the power of wealth. Without love, you have no wealth. It doesn't matter how much money you have. How many of you are really good self-lovers? You just love yourself to pieces all the time. Okay, so not so much. How many of you are very poor at self-loving? Go ahead. I won't look. I'm going to just take a guess and say that most of us are just not that great at loving and accepting ourselves. Today, in celebrating the riches of life, it's really a way to let love point the way. What does it mean to celebrate? You know, all through the Bible, it talks about Jesus having great celebrations. You know, he didn't turn that water into grape juice. He turned that water into wine. And they had all kinds of amazing celebrations and fine robes and things like that. So I think life is meant to be celebratory. I looked up Webster's definition, and this one comes about the closest to today's subject. It's to observe a notable occasion with festivities. To me, it's really taking time to acknowledge and to experience, no matter what it is, large or small, to be grateful for our experiences, to appreciate our experiences, and then to allow ourselves to really revel in our experiences, even those that sometimes aren't always pleasant. This morning, we're going to do a bit of acknowledging, a bit of appreciating, and a bit of being grateful. Next month, I'm going to focus on that, and we're going to certainly expound on gratefulness and thankfulness. So today will be kind of a warm-up to get us ready for November. Remember that great saying, "For that which I am grateful, I will never be denied." For that which I am grateful, I will never be denied. Having a celebratory attitude throughout life actually creates greater and greater good. Gratitude is an energy that appears to multiply your good, remembering that love points the way and the law makes the way possible. But let's begin with some personal appreciation. Let's stop for a moment and just appreciate this amazing body temple that we were given with five senses. How often do you actually celebrate the ability that you have to see, to hear, to taste, to smell, to touch? Probably never, or maybe rarely. But let's celebrate our ability to see and look around at all the beautiful colors, look up at that amazing dome, at the images and what is available to us. See the light and see the colors in life. But how about this? How about seeing with the eye behind the physical eye? Celebrating your ability to see, to discern, your ability to uncover or to understand a particular concept, the ability to get something, to gain insight, to have those ahas in life. That can be such a great feeling, can't it? So I'd like us to say some of these affirmations together. There's nothing like the power of a collective consciousness. So I'd like you to say this after me. I'll say it first. I celebrate my ability to see with my outer and inner eyes. Thank you, Spirit. I'll do it a line at a time. I celebrate my ability to see with my outer and inner eyes.
I celebrate my ability to see with my outer and inner eyes.
Thank you, Spirit. Now remember what I said. For that which you can be grateful, you will never be denied. I find sometimes we're very stingy with gratitude, with thankfulness, with actually sharing our appreciation. I'm going to get into this a little later, and you're going to see something very interesting about expression. Now, Let's celebrate your ability to hear, not just the sounds that we hear, but the things that we hear all around us. What about your ability to hear that inner voice, the whisper of that inner voice, to listen to your higher self that guides you, that directs you, that guards you, that self that will never steer you wrong? How often do we actually celebrate that? Well, here's your chance. I celebrate my ability to hear and to be guided. Thank you, Divine Mind. Here we go. I celebrate my ability to hear and to be guided. Thank you, Divine Mind. Right now, celebrate your ability to taste, not only when you're eating, but your ability to taste, to savor this richness of life, the fact that you have excellent taste, and allow yourself to celebrate that. Let's say, thank you, Divine Power, for my ability to taste the wonders of life. Thank you, Divine Power, for my ability to taste the wonders of life. Now take a deep breath through your nose and celebrate that ability to smell and also your ability to discern when things are not right for you. I smell something fishy. That ability. Thank you, life, for the ability to smell and to discern. Thank you, life, for the ability to smell and to discern. You can touch, just touch one hand to another, or maybe touch the hand next to you if that's comfortable. Your ability to be touched and to touch another heart to heart. That is an amazing ability to allow yourself to be moved, to allow yourself to have those feelings that touch us. We want to say thank you, great creator, for the ability to touch with my hands and with my heart. Thank you, great creator, for the ability to touch with my hands and my heart. Now, what about appreciating the ability or just appreciating and celebrating our ability to think? Our ability to think, our ability to reason. How about the powerful ability you have to imagine? How about that amazing ability you have to dream? Thank you, essence of all good, for my mind. Thank you, essence of all good, for my mind. And sometimes it's our ability to think, to reason, to dream, and to imagine that can get us also into trouble. And here's why. We reason that bad might only get worse. We imagine some sort of catastrophe. Or we dream up the worst case scenario and we think negative thoughts. And a lot of those negative thoughts that we think are around financial issues, aren't they? We may imagine what we don't want and we don't imagine what we do want. Now, your imagination is working all the time. So you're either focused and controlled in your imagination, or it's going willy-nilly. Now, I know a great class to take for that, and it's going to start this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock if you're ready to custom design your life by using the power of your imagination, then this class would be for you. Now, as I was saying, a lot of our negative thoughts are due to negative programming, and they are around financial issues. Would you agree? You have some negative thoughts around financial issues because pretty much we have a lot of negative programming about that. But let's remember something. Let's remember what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy verses 6 to 10. He said, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Paul was simply reminding Timothy that God is the source of our supply and that Timothy was to instruct the rich among the followers about this more or less eternal prosperity secret. Not that money is evil, nor is it virtuous to have no money, nor is it religious or spiritual if you're poor and have no money. We are prosperous beings being prosperous. Catherine Ponder, who wrote The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, said, "So let's get the record straight. There's nothing wrong with money, or in our wanting money. It's a God-given medium of exchange, and there's nothing evil about that. The moment that we let go of the false ideas that someone ignorantly taught us years ago, we will find that money circulates in our financial affairs much more easily and more satisfyingly." Okay, now that we have this new perspective on financial good, let's move forward with some sort of celebratory attitude that makes you a magnet for more good so that you're attracting more good. Now, we know that we're vibrational beings, right? And that we attract in our lives whatever resonates with our particular vibrational energy level. When we're vibrating at a low place, that would be kind of like, you know, being a little lethargic, where you're not really interested, or you might be in fear, we're attracting that same experience at that low level. But love and joy and appreciation are right up there at the top. If we're vibrating at the energy of love and joy and appreciation in that celebratory consciousness, we're actually attracting high vibrational experiences. So this is going to be the answer to that question when you say to yourself, how come when I'm doing everything right and I'm doing this and that, why is it I attracted that? How come I don't have more time? Why is it that I'm having to do everything myself and it just seems like there's just not enough time to have any fun? Now, you have to look and ask yourself a question. What actually is your attitude when you receive a large bill? A large bill. You know, a bill that says, hey, you owe such and such amount. What is your attitude? Oh, no, I can't afford this. How in the heaven am I going to pay this? I understand completely that the learned tendency is to do this. But it will not serve you in any way at all. It will not cause you to become more prosperous any more than it will if you hold back your money. How about just changing your mental attitude? We all know how to do that, right? That's not very difficult. You don't have to go to church every Sunday or take a class or anything to know how to shift your mental attitude. How about looking at it this way and saying, I'm so excited to see how the universe is going to pull this one off. I am really excited to see God work this one out. How about that? See, it shifts everything, right? So when you pay your bills, I want you to find a way to make yourself feel good. And this is what I was taught years ago. You must have an amazing prosperity consciousness that your vibrational energy was able to attract a bill of that size. You got to think of it this way. So that you have to look at right away, like, oh my God, thank you. Look at this. I am so prosperous. It's impossible to attract what you aren't, right? So no more can you say, I can't do this because you attracted it. It's your consciousness that's prosperous. So paying your bills when you don't feel good will just bring you bigger bills. To change what you're feeling, you need to use some imagination to turn your bills into something that makes you feel better. Well, what if you imagine this? First of all, I love to pay bills. I love to pay bills. I never wait to pay them. And it's a very selfish reason why I don't wait. I don't like to wait for my money. So I figure neither does the Department of Water and Power. They could probably use my check right away. I don't have to wait till the 15th or the 30th or whenever it says. I sit down and I write that check right away. And I notice that money begins to circulate. Okay, so what if a bill comes? Just imagine this. And what if you imagined that this really wasn't a bill, but you actually decided and chose to donate money to this particular person or company because they have provided you with such an amazing service. And you actually want to remunerate them for the service that they provided you as well as the world. Makes it a little bit different, doesn't it? Because usually bills come to us because we've used some sort of service, right? The Department of Water and Power, the electric bill, your rent. You've had a place to live. I think it's shocking when people go, oh my God, I have to pay rent. Yeah, probably every month, right? Or a mortgage or something. So we know that's going to come every month. We shouldn't be surprised. And of course, you're always going to have whatever it is you need because of that prosperity consciousness that you have. So a bill comes to you and you say, wow, what a consciousness. I am so prosperous. I know that this is all going to work out perfectly because the universe is for me and with me, and that's its job, and it's going to do that. And I, when I write this check, I'm going to just act as though I do this with parking tickets. Anybody ever get parking tickets? God, they're expensive. Like $78 now for a parking ticket. And I think to myself, well, here's a tithe to the city of Los Angeles. I'm sure they receive it, you know, like, wow, look at this. Pam McGregor sent a tithe, how nice. You know, or whoever it is. I think they're very grateful. I don't exactly know how to rationalize that one, but I just pay them because that's just what the law says to do, so I do that. So you're going to, when a bill comes, you're going to first of all know you're the consciousness because you attracted it. And then when you sit down and write that check, you're going to say, wow, what an opportunity for me to donate back to this wonderful person or company that provided me with a service. And then the other thing is to add to it, this is really wealth. You want to feel love when you pay for anything. Feel love. When you hand over money to somebody, you know, money carries vibration with it. It carries a lot of energy with it. And when we hand it over or we receive it, we have to do so with love, receive it with love, and also hand it over with love so that it has that vibration and you feel that love really in your heart. And then you imagine how much help that money is doing, whether it's doing a company or an individual or a staff or whatever it is, that it is doing great good. Again, when you pay for anything, even your credit card, cash or a check, imagine the abundance that you're giving back. And that comes back to you 100-fold. Because for that which I'm grateful, listen carefully, for that which I am grateful, I will never be denied. Now, when money comes into your hands, no matter how little it is, and I hear people talk about, well, it's only, don't do that. It's not only, don't limit money. Don't make it small, don't make it big, just be grateful. Remember, again, whatever you're grateful for always multiplies. They say that gratitude is really the great multiplier. Now, wealth is about coming from love. It's not about something we're going to. It's about something we're coming from. Anytime you hear another person who's receiving more money or more success than you, for example, get excited because that means that you're on that same frequency. Don't ask how. Your job is not to figure out how. The infinite, the law, will figure out how. Be just as excited for other people as if it were happening to you, because your reaction to the news is everything. If you react with joy and you react with excitement for the other person, what you're saying is yes to more money, yes to more success for yourself. If you're reacting by being blah, or feeling disappointed, or envious, or whatever it is, or just saying that it's not happening to you and you feel bad, you're saying no to money and you're saying no to success for yourself. Now, here's something you may not know. The universe is not a mind reader. The universe is a responder. And the universe responds by corresponding with your expression, with your vibe, your energy. So if you walk around blah, then that's what you're going to be getting, blah. But if you walk around excited and you're, some people think, oh, I am loving. Here's what it looks like. Oh, I'm very loving. And I'm very excited, very enthused about all your good. You see, the universe cannot read your mind. It only reads your energy. And that energy, I don't know what you say, to me didn't look very excited, and it didn't look very loving. But you want to be sure that you are expressing yourself so that your expression is actually matching your feelings. And if your feeling isn't good, then shift it so that you change your mental attitude so that it is. The universe cannot respond to your blahness, to your nothingness, to your lack of self-expression. It responds by corresponding to your expression, the vibe and the energy that you give off. Okay, I want you to sit there and think about this for a while because it's time for me to pause. Now, I'm going to invite someone here to the pulpit. We've been doing this each month. We've had one of our members or classmates speak each month about their, or each week this month, about their experience of the teaching. So this morning, I have someone who's going to share their experience of the Science of Mind teaching, how it's affected her life. And I would like you to join me in welcoming to the pulpit, Nilsa Bickel.
Boy, I really feel re-energized after that, don't you? Well, they usually save the best for last, so here I am. I was told when giving a speech, be witty, be relevant, be brief. I can hit one of those, so it's going to be short. I'm Nilsa, and you all know me as the greeter and at the visitor's table. I am a people person, and have met many people during my travels around the world. This has taught me quite a few lessons. The most important one is it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what language you speak, it doesn't matter what you look like. We all want and need the same thing. We need love to survive, and acceptance to grow as a person and as a human being. We need a purpose to each of our lives. I have spent most of my life rescuing dogs, parrots, friends, husbands. I currently have 3 dogs, 3 parrots, and a wonderful husband. And I'm saying this because he's over there taping. My home is seldom silent. My husband and I were living in Woodland Hills about 8 years ago. And due to a drastic health crisis of mine, we moved to Burbank to be near my husband and my grandchildren. I know for a fact that I would not be standing here today talking to you if it wasn't for my family, especially my sisters and my husband, who took really good care of me. And I know that was no easy task. They took care of me physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Their love was constant and absolute. Even as a child, I have always been curious about spirit and about the mind. When I lived in New York, I was part of the New Thought movement. I used to go to Unity Church, which was a Lincoln Center. I did the Silver Mind Control. I was even a Buddhist for a while. The human mind fascinates me, and learning how to connect it to spirit is both joyful and challenging, as we all know. It's, of course, an ongoing quest. So one day, I started to look for something, and I checked the Los Angeles Times Church Registry on Sundays. Didn't do anything for me. Then I came across the Tolucan newspaper at the most appropriate time, and I found a wonderful little lad with a very smiling face on it about science of mind. So I cut it out, taped it to the fridge door, and there it remained for about 3 weeks. Then one day, about 3 years ago, we decided to check it out, so we came in and listened. And I was so fascinated. There was this incredible, awesome speaker. And she was like a big thing of golden energy to me. And I knew that I needed some of that. And the funny thing is that her words just kept coming at me, just like crystallized rain. And I was really in the moment. I mean, we were one on one, telling me exactly what I needed to hear. Reverend Pam was definitely speaking to me because there was no one else there. The thing is, and I still wonder, how did she know I was coming? And how did she know what I needed to hear? But she said it. She said all the right things. And of course, I wanted to hear a lot more. So I started coming every Sunday, and I started reading and studying, taking all the classes, and doing a lot of thinking. So much thinking, I almost had trouble sleeping. Very powerful stuff. Now, the most important thing that happened, which is really funny, was how all my dedication and my hard work changed my husband via osmosis. Oh my gosh, it was like a miracle. It totally transformed our relationship with each other, and I never thought he needed any fixing to begin with. He loves Reverend Pam, and he loves the center, and he wants us to be a huge success and works really hard doing so. And I want to give a shout out to my husband. Thank you, honey. Thank you very much for all that you do so quietly and efficiently. Thank you. Science of mind has brought us closer together, both mentally and spiritually, more than ever. And it has opened up our lines of communication where we do a lot more talking now than before, without any fear. It just comes very natural. One of the most important things that I learned to do, I learned to be more patient with myself, kinder, and forgiving. That was no easy task. It is an ongoing process. I also happen to be kind of an impatient person. I want what I want, and I want it now, and I'm not willing to wait. So what I have been doing is I take deep breaths, hold it, exhale, and then wait. It has made life a lot easier and a lot healthier. Also, I want to acknowledge the little book, The Four Agreements. I read it many, many years ago. And I took the class 2 years ago, and I just finished it again. And I must tell you, the third time, oh brother, it was really something. And the funny part about this book is that every time I buy one, it flies right out of my hand and into somebody else's, which I don't mind. I think it's great. So I want to suggest to you that if you don't have this book, please run right to the book table and get yourself one. It's a little book. It's all about using the power of your word, the four agreements with yourself. Number one, use your words with kindness and love. Don't take anything personal, right? Don't make assumptions. That's a hard one. And always, always do your best. I am a much, much better person all around since I started doing the science of mind work. I know it works. It worked for me. It worked for my husband. And I've seen it work in everybody that I meet. It is absolutely inspiring work, re-energizing, and transforming. So please, let's make the Science of Mind Center the best in the country. Let's make it bigger, better by participation, volunteering, and most importantly, talking about it with everyone you meet. Everyone you come across, they're there for a purpose. I always carry those little affirmation cards, and they work wonderful. I had my mail person knock on my door twice because he wanted more to give to his friends. I give it to everybody that I come across, the nail person, the cashier, you name it, the homeless, I don't care. Do not discriminate. And I give it to dogs. When I'm playing with someone's dog and they have a little collar, stick it right in there. No matter who it is, I just always, always share my experience with Science of Mind. So I just really want to end with thank you so very much for your love, support, an effort. Keep coming, share your experience, bring families and friends. And again, let's take it through the roof. Let's make it bigger, better than ever. Thank you. I love you all so much.
Thank you. Okay, so now you know everything, right? Thank you, Nilsa. That was great. Let's see. What do I have to tell you now? I'd like to share something with you. This was written in, I think, 1912, and it was written by Christian Larson, who is a great metaphysician, and he's written many wonderful books. But it really is something that I think we can all live by and something that is very supportive. And I actually have copies for you if you'd like to pick one up at the book table. So it's sort of a nice way to end our time together in sort of a meditative state. So I'm going to ask that you just sit back, relax, take a couple of deep breaths. And it's called I Promise Myself. And this is something I think we can all use for ourselves. I promise myself to be so strong that nothing can disturb my peace of mind. I promise myself to talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person I meet. I promise myself to make all my friends feel there is something worthwhile in them. I promise to look at the sunny side of everything and make my optimism come true. I promise myself to think only of the best, to work only for the best, and to expect only the best. I promise to be just as enthusiastic about the success of others as I am about my own. I promise to forget about the mistakes of the past and to press on to the great achievements of the future. I promise to wear a cheerful expression at all times and to give a smile to every living creature I meet. I promise to give so much time to improving myself that I have no time to criticize others. I promise myself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble. I promise myself to think well of myself and proclaim this fact to the world, not in loud words, but in great deeds. I promise myself to live in faith that the whole world is on my side, so long as I am true to the best that is in me. And this, my friends, is the true riches of life. Thank you, celebrate it, and God bless you. Thank you so much. Okay, sit back. A couple of more deep breaths. This will be the last time you have to breathe while you're here. I'm just kidding. Okay. Oh, what a joy. What a joy it is to be in the consciousness, the vibration, and the energy of unconditional love. We've heard that today through music, through prayer, through sharing with one another. And let's know that our hearts and our minds are more open than ever. And that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what might be going on in your life, that you are bigger than your circumstances, far more powerful than any condition, and that you're filled with health and vitality and vibrancy, that you have a keen mental attitude that you have complete control over, and that what you are attracting in your life is wonderful blessings. More love, more health, more vitality, more opportunities, and each and every individual supports and empowers you and those opportunities. So as we release and let go of anything that has happened in the past, we inherit the joy and the sweetness of this particular moment, over which we have control by thinking, by feeling, and by our actions. So let our actions be always in heaven and from love. We bless all churches, all temples, all synagogues, all faiths, all cultures, all forms of worship, and we extend our hand in friendship and in unity, to oneness and to all. We are inclusive and we are grateful to be that consciousness. For as the rain cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, and so it is.